This is the Man in Line on location.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. We're welcoming you live from Queen's Beer in Ramsey. The weather isn't all it could be, so we're inside today chatting to the great and the good and sometimes the bad from Ramsey today. You can figure out which ones they are. Now, there's loads to investigate today, including what's happening to this fantastic beer, where they are, where the renovation is up to, but lots more to talk about, including last night. Democracy was in action in Ramsey as the Ramsey Commissioner's by-election was held, and a brand new commissioner in Ramsey, Sandra Cottam Shea, was elected to the vacant seat. She got 162 votes. And let's go to Tim Cowan's here, who's the town clerk of Ramsey. Tim, good night last night then.
Yeah, excellent night. The great thing is that we could see democracy. We had four great candidates for this by-election. They're going to be serving, or Sandra is going to be serving, from now until March, May next year.
May next year, okay. I mean, it was sometimes it was hotly contested for Ramsey, because sometimes the elections aren't even contested in Ramsey.
No, that's exactly right. Ramsey's one of those constituencies which tends to get a contested election, but it was really great that we had four really strong candidates, and they really showed their worth by campaigning around Ramsey, and it was very positive.
Jeff Court is sitting next to you as well. Now, Lee Mapp, is it Parks and Leisure?
It is Parks and Leisure, yes.
Okay, how long have you been a commissioner, Jeff?
This will be my fourth year.
Why did you choose to do it?
I think for me, it was the idea of trying to giving something back in to the community, listening to people, listening to what their wants and needs were, to try and put on events for the community, to try and exactly the same way in the recent campaign, people have been saying they want to contribute to Ramsey, they want to give something back to the community. That's exactly what inspired me, and that's what I try and continue to do.
And what's the hot topic in Parks and Leisure at the moment?
The hot topic, probably the events that we've got coming up. That's always one of our main focuses. Obviously, we've got a fantastic independent retail sector in Ramsey, but one of the other reasons to visit this town is the amazing events that we put on every year, and we've got a fantastic schedule coming up, kicking off with Sprint Fest and then our party in the park. We have, obviously, the Ramsey fireworks. We'll have Ramsey Rocks as well, and just a wonderful schedule.
What's the state of play with the Murrick at the moment? it's fair to say it's come up amazingly in the past 10 years.
I think it's fair to say that everyone at Ramsey Town Commissioners is incredibly proud of the amazing hard work that is done every single day by the park staff. We're the only park on the Isle of Man that has a green flag status. You can see that when you visit. It deserves it. It is a beautiful asset for the whole of the island, especially for Ramsey.
Wilf Young is sitting next to a fellow commissioner. How long have you been a commissioner, Wilf?
Well, I was at a housing meeting the other night, and I was told by the lady there that it was 27 years.
Why did you do it in the first place, Wilf?
Because everything was in such a mess. And I had to... working for the people, and that's all there is to it. I first went in it because everything was in such a mess, and they were all talking about using the harbour as a marina. And I had to try and get that stopped.
Oh, I remember. Dean and Dybal. Wasn't it? Dean and Dybal, the company from Southampton who were going to be doing it.
Yes.
So, but marina's still on the agenda. I mean, people are still talking about a marina. Everybody agrees that they'd like one, but nobody knows quite where to put it, well, apart from you.
Yes, well, I could tell them where to put it. But, I said they wanted to take our beach here, you see, South Beach. That was the last one. I think that's still in their mind, but I would suggest if they want to do it, go north, off the North Shore. And they've got 6 miles to play with there.
So whereabouts precisely in the North Shore would you put it?
Well, you can start at the North Pier.
Right.
Go as far down as you like and take it round in a circle. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Take it round in a circle. And you've got as big a marina as you want to ever make.
And would the coastal erosion north of that, would that dog mills and everywhere, would that make any difference?
That wouldn't make any difference to a marina because you've got a wall right round it.
Okay, so why do you think this idea for South Beach, why was that?
I don't really know.
Was it for housing or?
Well, they were talking about making the stone pier, this stone pier, the south stone pier, twice as long. Well, that's just ridiculous. You make it twice as long, you fetch it round towards the Queen's Pier here, and then they were going to put shuttering along the Queen's Pier, which would look terrible, pile driving,
yeah.
To keep the sand out of the hole they were going to dig. They were going to, I think they think they're in Dubai or somewhere, they were going to build houses on the sand, dig this big hole, build the houses on the sand, and try and keep it open. But they were going to build, make the pier twice as long, stone pier. That would then put the northeast gales straight up the harbour. We've got piers to both the same length. And that's why we've got them the same length, so you can get out of the harbour in a gale. They alter them, and you're going to make real trouble. No, it's just they were going to build use twice the length of the stone pier, but the length of the stone pier as it is now, they were going to fill in with the sand they dug out of the hole, and then build houses right out the end of the stone pier. So then you'd end up with half a Queen's Pier, half the length.
Dennis Curfey's here from Dennis. There. You're project manager for what's happening at Queen's Pier, am I right?
Am, yes, yes.
Okay, so the big question is, how far are we through this? 50%, 30%?
Oh, heavens no, we're only at the end. At the moment, what we've completed is to the end of Bay 6.
Yeah.
There's 60 bays, so we've got a good bit, we're a tenth of the way out there at the moment.
Okay.
But yes, it's we're in the process at the moment. We're waiting for two bays of steel to come for bays 7 and 8, which will give us another 80 feet out, because each bay is 40 feet.
Can you give us any indication how much steel has gone up?
Well, the steel has gone up to now six bays of steel. Obviously, the price has gone up quite a lot. So,
yeah. That's what I'm asking. How much has it gone up in price?
Well, 3 years ago, I think we were paying something like £30,000 per bay for the steel, just steel. At today's prices at the moment, it's £56,000 per bay.
Where does it come from?
From all the people of the Isle of Man, Ramsey in particular, but yes, and from beyond.
Where do you source the steel from?
At the moment, we're using a firm called James Cowie & Sons, based in South Glasgow, where they manufacture, fabricate, send it out to a local galvanizing yard to hot dip it. Then they spray it and send it over to us via Mezzeron.
Okay, so what's happening today? I see people outside working. What's happening there?
Yes, we're not actually working out on the pier as such because, like I say, we're waiting for the steel, so there's not a lot, but we've got lots of other tasks. We have to keep going, doing things and bits and pieces, preparing for moving out when we come to get more, when we get the steel comes and we're moving on out.
When's it going to be finished, Dennis?
That's the question everybody asks. How long is a piece of string? If the money stops coming in, then we stop building, don't we?
Okay, and do you know how much it's going to cost?
At today's prices, and obviously it's materials alone because we're all volunteers, we're looking at probably about £4.5 million.
So £4.5 million came in today, it would just be a matter of time of building it?
Yes, yes.
Okay, everybody here seems very confident about this, and remember, I mean, Queen's Pier nearly died, didn't it? It was nearly completely finished.
It did.
Well, the government wanted to knock it down.
Well, they were hoping it would fall into the sea, didn't they? But they didn't allow for Victorian engineering.
And I was going to ask now, what's your feeling about the Victorians and the job they made at the Queen's Pier?
Absolutely brilliant, weren't they? Absolutely brilliant.
I mean, it's vastly over-engineered, really, wasn't it?
Of course it is. That's why it's still standing.
And talk about the, I mean, how is it, is piled into the seashore? How is it?
The legs are screwed into the seashore. It's a huge screw that's that was screwed into the, and they go down, they vary in length, but some of them are down 7-8 meters deep because they have to go into a hard clay, which is underneath the soft clay and sand.
And do you know how they put them there in the first place?
They would have used some sort of a steam motor and done it on a ratchet system to turn the screws into the seabed.
When it's finished, will it go out the full distance?
That's our intention. I'm not too sure if I'll see it, but you might.
Look on the bright side.
You might.
Look on the bright side. Are you anything to do with the railway?
We're all part of the railway.
Because I hear,
is
it true that those tracks out there have to be verified by a UK certifier? They have to come over and look at it.
We had a railway inspector here yesterday afternoon
from the UK.
Yes, Yes.
And how much track have you got out there?
Well, at the moment, we're out to 66 bays, I should say. So it's 240 feet at the moment.
Okay. So they came, and so you have to be certified?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We have to make sure all the health and safety, et cetera, is in position. Yes.
Okay. Are you short of volunteers, or are you full complement?
I don't think we'd ever have a full complement, but we've got a fantastic team here, certainly. And every one of them knows exactly what to do.
Yeah.
You know, nobody has to stand around having to be told. They boys just come here and get on with it.
If the government tomorrow, in a flash of inspiration, said, we'll take the project over and we can do it, how would you feel?
Relieved.
Would you trust the Department of Infrastructure to do it?
Well, going on past experiences, probably no.
Because you must have garnered an immense amount of knowledge and skills to do this. You'd never done a pier up before, I presume.
No, but all my life has been in construction. So, and it's, we're only replacing. So yeah. it's not rocket science.
Were there any plans for it? Have you got the plans?
We've got original plans, yes.
Okay. So, and I know as well you get help from various construction companies.
The help we get from other construction companies has been, everybody on the old businesses, it's been absolutely brilliant.
Okay. I mean, you can plug them by all means. Any particular construction
companies? Well, obviously Paul Carey & Sons would probably be classed as our main sponsor.
What do they do? I mean, what do they...
Well, they pay you at Manx Radio quite a sum of money each year, paying for all the adverts you hear from the pier on and all the haulage we do, bringing the train to and from. When Alden Construction gave us all the rails from the Snaefell Mountain Railway that were being replaced, Paul Carey & Sons picked it all up and brought it here for us. So they do all the haulage for nothing, etc. Heavy Crane, Steve Broad and Heavy Cranes, they do a brilliant amount for us. And it's all round, isn't it?
Where's James Evans? Where's James? James, come on over here. Come on over. Take a seat over here, James. You're sitting in the one and ninepenners there. James is here from, well, two hats really, James, isn't it? Chamber of Commerce and Ramsey Garden Centre, is that right?
That is, yeah, that's right.
How's business at the moment?
Very good, yeah, looking forward to the spring. And then hopefully we'll get some nice sunny weather.
Well, we've just had a budget. We're looking forward brightly to the future. How long have you been in business now?
We've done the garden centre now for over 13 years now.
Yeah, okay. If you'd known then what you know now, would you have started it?
Yes.
So is your business, does it come from around the north, from Ramsey or across the island?
It comes from the whole of the Isle of Man, Port Erin, Port St Mary, Ballykill, Ferrick, the other day. So anywhere on the whole Isle of Man,
okay,
people come to us.
And what's the mood like in the Chamber of Commerce?
Positive.
Yeah?
Very positive at the moment, yeah. Working closely with the Ramsey Commissioners, a good relationship with them, and the retailers are, yeah.
When you say working closely with the Commissioners, what does that, how do you mean?
Having meetings more often with Tim Clark, Tim Cowan and the rest of the commissioners and Stephen Bevan, and we're actually going forward.
Okay. What do you think needs to happen in Ramsey? What do you think needs to to move it forward for traders, for people in business?
What we're doing now is really good, but I think just working closely with the commissioners is the first step, and then try to have some more events and more support in Ramsey.
How do you feel about Tesco coming to Ramsey?
Yeah. That's fine, because I think it'll stop people going to Douglas, and they might stay in Ramsey and shop in Ramsey.
Okay. Oh, Alex Anderson is here. Treasury Minister, Ramsey MHK, is here. Come and take a seat. Everybody's watching intently here as well. Sorry about the weather, by the way.
Sorry, I got here a little bit late. It's one of the problems with being in Tynwald is going backwards and forwards across the mountain. But you never have to apologise for the weather in Ramsey. It's always sunny up here.
we're talking about Ramsey in general and the future. James was talking about the economic well-being of the town. How do you gauge it?
You have to gauge it by talking to the people who live here, really. I mean, in terms of encouraging, local businesses, I think it is that thing about shopping local. I mean, if you go down the high street on a Saturday, people are out there shopping, but they're talking to each other. And it's the power, I think, of the local communities, not just in Ramsey, but obviously, I've made Ramsey my home. It's where my heart is. And I think we do have something really special here. But some of the shops here, some of the businesses that have started up are national businesses. businesses. People come from all over the island, whether it's, you know, for the range of things you offer in the garden centre, or for artisan ice creams. There'll be a queue around the block even in the rain for that, which I never thought would happen. So it's a great place to live, certainly, and hopefully a great place to work.
Hot topic always is the Cottage Hospital. Is the future secure? Everybody wants to know, is the future secure?
Yes. I mean, and why do I say that? Because I was talking to the new chair of Manx Care only this week, and she'd been up to Ramsey. She'd gone around the College Hospital. She'd been really impressed, not just by the facilities there, but by the staff there. Now, we can always do better. I think, you know, what they're trying to do is make sure that the staff are supported, that they get all the right training, facilities, as you would at Nobles. But the College Hospital is very different. It caters, again, for the people of Ramsey, but also caters for the rest of the island. So all the dermatology is now done there for everyone on the island. And I think we can expand that because we've got some really skilled people there who can provide fantastic health services.
It's got a different atmosphere as well, hasn't it, Ramsey Cottage Hospital? I mean, I do. I'm there on a fairly frequent basis, and it just feels different.
It's more relaxed. It's part of the community, and the people who live in Ramsey often work there as well. So there is that feeling of belonging there, and people will go above and beyond to provide the best service they can.
The Chief Minister and Enterprise Minister were on a couple of days ago talking about the proposed boundary changes. How does a Ramsey MHK feel about the proposed boundary change?
I mean, from my point of view, there are two things there. There's the boundary for the commissioners and them wanting to expand the Ramsey boundary. Boundaries, which, you know, I'm quite happy to support. I can see why. Then you've got the Electoral Commission talking about the voting boundaries. Yeah. I'm completely opposed to that. I mean, it'd be very confusing. Literally, one side of the street you're voting for an MHK for Ramsey. Then the other side of the street you'd be voting for an MHK for Aaron Michael. It distracts from that sense of community that we've got here, and I think would mean that people felt disenfranchised and probably wouldn't bother voting. And we've always had a really good turnout here, as seen with the election yesterday. People are passionate about the town. They're passionate about who represents them, whether it's at a local or national level. And I think we should preserve that.
Going back to the commissioner's proposed boundary change, what merit do you see in that for Ramsey?
The main thing is in terms of providing the right level of services for the people of Ramsey and the north, but also to look at, you know, accessible and affordable housing as well, and trying to allow more people to live here. The Ramsey isn't alone. I think there is a housing shortage, and I think we should do everything possible to allow people to build, you know, constructively and responsibly, and also renovate those houses that we have in the town that currently are empty and derelict.
I was going to come on to that. Brownfield sites and derelict, dilapidated sites in Ramsey. Everybody knows where they are. Everybody sees them as well. But how do you move that on?
There are a whole range of ways. I mean, if you go down the Prom, you'll see that Bleak House is a bit less bleak now. But that's been an ongoing battle with the commissioners for decades. We're getting there. What we're doing in terms of government is going out to the all the local authorities imminently in terms of a consultation of how we can deal with empty and dilapidated properties, how we can deal with the rates on them, how we can deal with trying to get them back into service. There are some derelict brownfield sites in Ramsey. They're owned by people who constantly come up with new ideas that don't materialise. What can we do to help that? And what can we do to perhaps prod them in the right direction? And there are a range of ways of doing that. You can either penalise people for leaving things empty or give them grants if necessary to renovate them for the right purposes. And that's what we need to do, is have that armoury to try to get these sites back into use, not just in Ramsey but across the island.
You've got a surgery tomorrow, I think, haven't you?
We have. Laurie Hooper and I
not a GP surgery.
No. Laurie Hooper and I do a political surgery on the second Saturday of every month in the town hall. People are more than welcome to come and have a chat to us. You know, in terms of the any issues they may have locally in Ramsey, or any questions they may have for us as MHKs in terms of members of Tim.
Well, What sort of questions do you get?
We get
it's a drop-in session, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Well, I mean, we get everything. So we'll get individual problems with potholes, with noise from neighbours. Sometimes we have we signpost to the commissioners because it's more about street cleaning or lights out in the streets. But then we get onto more national questions in terms of pensions, the state of the NHS, immigration, housing, trying to grow the working population and what that looks like, and particularly things like healthcare and education, which is really important in Ramsey. As you said, we've got the hospital. We've also got fantastic schools here as well that cater both for people who live in Ramsey but further afield in terms of the whole of the north. So a whole range of things. So and that's the joy about being a politician on the Isle of Man. You get very local issues that are very important for people, then the more national level, and then internationally as well, dealing with international taxation agreements and stuff like that. So yeah, we Laurie and myself are kept quite busy.
Okay, and the surgery is 10 till midday, is it?
10 till midday.
Okay, we're live on Queen's Pier in Ramsey today. It's not quite blowing a hoolie outside, but it's very warm inside, and we're back in a moment.
Wedding planners and photographers, looking for a truly unique backdrop for wedding photography? Then consider the historic Queen's Pier in Ramsey for a stunning coastal backdrop for truly memorable photographs. It offers a fantastic location to photographers in exchange for an affordable donation. Visit the Queen's Pier Restoration on Facebook, or to discuss photo opportunities, call Graham on 355 104. That's 355 104. This audio has been kindly sponsored by Paul Carey and Sons.
Manx Glass and Glazing can undertake replacement double glazing windows and doors for customers, support for which may be available through the government's Green Living Grant Scheme. To improve your home and save money on making it more energy efficient, call the Manx Glass and Glazing team on 674 573 or visit the showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate. An approved contractor by Construction IOM, Manx Glass and Glazing can transform your home with government grants potentially available. Terms and qualifying conditions apply.
See what's in store now at Ramsey Garden Centre. We've spring and summer bulbs and seeds and plants for tubs and borders, plus onion and garlic sets, seed potatoes, spring planters and more, including azaleas, rhododendrons and roses, fruit trees, primroses and violas. There's something for gardeners young and old at Ramsey Garden Centre. And for exclusive offers, pick up a reward card today. Check on Facebook or call into Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week on Albert Road.
This winter, Manx Petroleum will keep the island warm. For the homemakers, for the bedtime storytellers, for the work-at-homers, and for the careful spenders. This winter, the island's longest-serving distributor will be warming thousands of homes with our premium heating oil. With minimum orders from just 250 litres to keep your outgoings low, Manx Petroleum, always here for you. For details and ordering, visit mp.im.
John Webster is an economist, business owner and chairman of the Manx Technology Group, as well as an independent advisor to various investment funds and involved with the UN as an economic advisor to small islands. He was also economic advisor to the Isle of Man government back in the 80s, so he's well qualified to talk about the economic situation in the Isle of Man. On Perspective this Sunday at 12 noon on Manx Radio, John Webster joins me, Phil Gorn, to talk about the budget, the newly released tax strategy and what steps should be taken to ensure that the Isle of Man prospers again in the future. There is hope, really.
This is the Man in Line on Location.
Look at that time. We're live from Queen's Pier in Ramsey, 29 minutes after midday today. By the way, every Monday and Friday, did I mention we're 60 years old? We're 60 years old. And every Monday and Friday after Man in Line, we go back into the archive. Today, we're going back to the 1980s when foxes were found on the Isle of Man. The story behind it after Man in Line today with John Moss. And David Furnival is here from the Queen's Pier is it Queen's Pier Restoration Trust, isn't it?
It is.
QPRT. And you're the chair of the...
Currently, I am.
Okay. Well, I was mentioning to Dennis, obviously, this is an ongoing thing. It's like the fourth rail bridge. It continues to go on and on and on. Can you see the end of this?
It's a steel structure, and historically, there's always been ongoing maintenance for the pier, whether that's painting the intertidal zone to reduce the corrosion rates, changing the cross bracing because that's mild steel and they corrode in a more accelerated way than the wrought iron and the cast iron. that's never ceased to be part of maintaining the pier for the good of the people and for its safe use. And we still have that ongoing requirement going to the future. So while we're replacing with new material all the steel and the timber structure above the palms, which are the top of the legs, we still have an ongoing maintenance requirement for the legs and everything below that. And that's where the DOI comes back in and government responsibility, because it is a registered structure. There is a requirement to maintain its condition. And the premise of what we're doing in terms of renewing the superstructure on top is based on a sound foundation. And if that sound foundation isn't maintained during the year, years ahead, then of course all we're doing will have a very short lifespan.
What do you mean there's a requirement to maintain it?
It's a listed building, so the government has a responsibility to not allow it to deteriorate.
Right.
We've taken on the mandate.
That's DOI, is it?
Well, it's under the DOI, yeah. Covered at the moment. We have a mandate through our lease agreement with the government, the QPRT has, to renew all the structure above the palm heads.
Yeah.
But we also recognise that as we're dismantling parts of the old superstructure, we see the odd defect here and there, which is a natural wear and tear element, and that needs to be dealt with as well. And we've already committed to the DOI through earlier meetings that we, if it's within our expertise and with our resource availability, we will do that work free of charge. If materials are required, then we expect the government to pay for that. But if it's within our capability to do it, we will do it. But we have to work in partnership with the DOI to achieve that on an ongoing basis into the future. So we supplement maintenance work in the future with our renovation work. Now, we have recently received an independent inspection report from the DOI. It's confidential in nature at the moment, so we can't reveal the details. We've seen it, and we will have a meeting with the DOI in about 2 weeks' time here on pier. And hopefully that will be an opportunity that we can cement a relationship going forward, a constructive relationship, where the volunteers work in harmony with DOI and government influence to the betterment and improve the longevity of the pier going forward.
How do you get on with government?
Fine, no problem at all. I mean, we understand the financial restraints that they have. In terms of providing assistance, they help us where they can really reasonably do so, utilising their foundry, for example, in the past, but no charge. So we feel we can have a good relationship with the DOI. It's just we need to have that close communication. And this meeting we have in 2 weeks will afford the opportunity to build a relationship going forward. But the people we deal with are fine.
So how much of the pier will be open this summer to walk on?
Well, basics is complete, as Dennis said, so that will be open to the public. We can't obviously work beyond that, open beyond that, until we have the steel put in place and the decking installed, which we reckon will be completed by the end of summer. All going well, we should receive the steel by end of spring. And that means we will have up to Bay 8 available within the end of this year, open to the public every Sunday.
What sort of work do the volunteers do?
It's a whole range of work. It depends on physical capability, right. Of course. So we move from refurbishment of the old cast iron balustrades and painting them. So they're like brand new, essentially. A big job is the deconstruction of the old pier, removing the timber, removing the old steel, preparing the palms for installing the new steel, and then, of course, all the procedures around this safe lifting of the new steel into place. So that's a major undertaking, because there's health and safety element to that in particular, and we treat the safety aspects of what we do as a highest priority.
Are there any planks available for sponsorship yet?
I think they're all sold. We don't allow any sales of planks until we are certain that we have all the steel structure and timber available to put the planks on.
And I think, how much are they? £75 a time? How much are they?
I think they are. That's correct. Yeah.
Because that's been, Dennis, that's been their great presents, aren't they, for Christmas and birthday?
Yes, definitely.
They're very popular.
Yes.
And last time we did an outside broadcast from here,
well, that's right.
There was a lady from a coach trip came and bought two.
Yes. Well, Bay 8, you see, when we put Bay 8 planks up for sale there last year, they went within a fortnight.
Yeah. I think you should put the price up, to be quite honest.
Well, yeah, and it's a huge amount of money that we collect by the sale of planks, without which we wouldn't be going as far as we are.
The people I know, the Restoration Trust, you know, is very happy to receive money from people's wills and what have you. So, I mean, that comes in all the time, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, all the time. Even the local undertakers are giving us money where people ask money to be paid in lieu of flowers and what have you to the pier. Which is a big, huge help. Everything helps.
Let's go to Tim Cowan, the town clerk as well. Just going back, Dr. Allenson was talking about this, the boundary change. Just give us, I mean, for new readers, new listeners, start here. What is the boundary change all about?
Okay, so the boundary change, it's one of those things. It's once in a generation this happens. So the last time it happened was in 1993. And it's to look at where the boundary of Ramsey should be. So the boundary of Ramsey is quite tight into the built environment at the moment. What happened in previous times was that estates were built outside of the town and then the boundary extension caught up with that, and this time it's to sort of preempt some of that and to make sure that there's the potential for development land outside of the Ramsey boundary or the current Ramsey boundary.
And what does the Ramsey Commission say to the naysayers? What are the people, the people who are against this?
Well, it's obviously a process that needs to be gone through.
And this is to the advantage of Ramsey, isn't it?
It is. It's got a potential advantage to Ramsey, yes, to release some more land, which could then potentially be used as development land, but that needs to be seen. So it's an advantage to Ramsey Town Commissioners. Lots of people do get really good service from Ramsey, which is a service centre for the north of the Isle of Man, and live on the very borders and boundary of Ramsey.
We'll see. Jeff Court, we're talking about the future of Ramsey and where it goes. And obviously there are plans for estates, new houses that are going to be built around the town. How big do you think it can go without losing character?
That's a very interesting question, Andy. I think what is so incredibly special about Ramsey, and we're witnessing it right now. For the benefit of listeners, we're all sat in the small cabin next to the Queen's Pier Restoration Trust and the Queen's Pier. And what we have in this room are examples of incredible volunteers who are working tirelessly to restore a national treasure. We have members of the Chamber of Commerce and local business owners, entrepreneurs, who work tirelessly to support the local community and local businesses to bring jobs in, to service the public and make Ramsey a place to love, to visit, to cherish for the economy. We have political representatives who care about their constituents so passionately when it comes to both local and national issues. We have the incredible landscape that we're talking about here. Wilf has been talking about with not just our coastline, but our park that I mentioned, the swing bridge that has just received listed status, Albert Tower. That is the character and personality of Ramsey. Ramsey is its people. Ramsey is its landscape. Ramsey is this entire community pulling together, whether it's volunteer efforts to restore the pier or Chamber of Commerce efforts to boost the town or community efforts to stand in local elections, as we saw yesterday, to give something back to the people. I may be biased, but Ramsey is an incredible place. Ramsey is its people. Ramsey is these groups. So I think as Ramsey expands, I would love to see the expansion of that same spirit and passion and dedication.
Man in Line today is live on the Queen's Pier in Ramsey, and back in a moment.
Business owners, if you're looking to get involved in a great local cause, then find out about the Queen's Pier Restoration Trust. Opportunities include helping out and discovery days for staff, along with sponsorship opportunities to help with the restoration. Call Graham on 355 104 to discuss the corporate support options available to keep this historic Manx landmark for future generations. Call Graham today on 355 104. This audio has been kindly sponsored by Paul Carey and Sons.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again.
How do you really get to feel healthier? Eat healthier. ShopRite's Healthy Choice ranges make it easy and truly enjoyable. All over our chillers and freezers, food that even sounds better for you. like the Gym Kitchen protein-packed frozen meals, Plant Chef plant-based chilled and frozen food, and free from ranges across the store from pasta to cereal. Better for you doesn't have to mean boring anymore. Try our range of healthier alternatives. Available now at ShopRite.
Discover a fabulous range of watches, gifts and jewellery at Ramsey Art Gallery. With top brand watches from Bulova, Citizen Eco Drive and Storm to Acuras, Seconda and Timex. Plus, all watch purchases come with free lifetime watch bracelet adjustment service. There's stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions and, of course, a fabulous gallery of limited edition prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers, opposite Ramsey RNLI shop.
After snatching a late victory last weekend, FC Isle of Man will be out to take maximum points once more when they return to NWCFL Premier Division action this weekend. They face a tricky test of the bowl on Saturday against Longridge Town, who put five goals past the Ravens on Manx soil last season. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Longridge Town, kicking off at 6pm this Saturday. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels. Live coverage of FC Isle of Man on Manx Radio is supported by Selton, investing in our community.
This is the Man in Line on location.
Yeah, we're live at Queen's Pier today, and Jody Evans is here, James's other half here from Ramsey Garden Centre. So is it really 13 years?
Yeah, 13 years, yeah. It's quite hard to believe that we made something out of what was essentially just a derelict building and some brownfield sites next
That's
door.
It. I mean, you are in the middle of a town.
We are in the
nowhere
middle of
near a garden.
No.
and you make it work.
And we make it work.
So what's the key to it?
Do you know, I think a lot of it is just us. I think we have actually become this destination. We don't have a cafe. We don't have a park next to us or anything like that.
You're amazing, because that's the only garden centre without a cafe at £3 for a cup of coffee.
Well, there you go. Buy more flowers instead.
So, I went into the shop at Christmas as well. Big display. You do that every year, don't you?
We do that every year. It completely gets transformed.
Do you get the same customers? Have you got a big customer base?
We do have a big customer base. And as James said, they come from all over the island. We're not just Ramsey based, and the other thing as well we have to think about is those people that come in from the south to us will then go to the cafes and the other little shops in town,
right.
And then it creates this wonderful kind of effect of everybody using everyone's shops. It's
so
brilliant.
I'll ask this question again and get your answer. What's the feeling like with the traders? You obviously speak to other traders, and everybody, there are jungle drums up and down Parliament Street.
I do get it. It is hard. It's hard for us. Ours is very weather related as well. It is very easy to be clickbait and go on Amazon and all the other shopping sites. I get that as well, especially when it's horrible. We've really suffered with the weather this year, storm after storm. We've had flooding. So that plays a huge part in it as well, because people don't want to come out in that weather.
Yeah.
And that's hard. You've got to try and draw them in. And the fact that we've got so much free parking, you know, everywhere is free.
Yeah.
We've got a car park opposite us. We've got a car park at the co-op. You can park on the prom, on the quay, in the street. It's all free parking. That's brilliant.
What are you selling at the moment?
Lots of primroses and lots of Mother's Day gifts. I've been really busy making nice Mother's Day gifts.
Very good. All right, good to you. Keith Dalrymple is here as well from the Chamber of Commerce. So we've been talking about the future of Ramsey, and obviously how the traders view this and the money that they make and put back into their business and community is important. Jody, times are tough. There's no point dressing it up. Times are tough, aren't they?
Indeed, they are. There's no question about that. But, you know, when things get tough, the tough get going. And it's demonstrable in Ramsey that the businesses are not waiting for handouts. They're not waiting for somebody to wave a magic wand. They're dealing with things themselves. And I'm privileged to be chair of the Northern Chamber of Commerce at the moment. And I'm very proud that with the members of the chamber, we have a very cordial working relationship with the Queen's Pier Restoration Trust. And you have seen today, and you've heard from previous speakers, this effort, what is being achieved in the Queen's Pier, is demonstrable of all the phrases that have been used. Community spirit. Well, if you take a walk along the pier, have a look to the right and the left, you'll see 1,000 or more plaques. they mark the donations from individuals and companies. That's more than a phrase, community spirit. That's doing something. The volunteers here are working very well, very hard, in challenging conditions. I'm a chartered building surveyor and a project manager in another life. I know how hard and difficult it is, and that's why we are so pleased to have the relationship that we have with the Queen's Pier, the members of the Chamber of Commerce, and this is the people of the north of the island doing something for themselves. We've had phrases mentioned by the speakers, Brownfield, and Eddie Jody mentioned their business, a success story for Ramsey, is cited on what was Brownfield. There's been reference to the sites that are available within the centre of the town, and indeed Dr. Allenson mentioned grant aid possibly to assist. I would suggest that there are developers, not major developers, but local developers who are seeking to grow, who are not waiting for grants. They're waiting for the decision makers to facilitate and enable the redevelopment, the repurposing of those sites. For too long, there was a perception that Ramsey was dying. Well, as you keep saying, Ramsey is evidently alive and well, and I'm delighted to have an opportunity to pay tribute to the volunteers here, but also to the people of Ramsey. And the north of the island, we're doing things for ourselves.
Jolly good. Keith, thank you very much indeed. I want to go to back to Wilf Young here, because one thing that we haven't mentioned here, but it's something that Ramsey is remembered for, and it was 60 years ago, Wilf, that Radio Caroline pulled into the bay on Bahama Bank.
I've been on it.
Do you remember being there?
I've been on it. I've fished over the side of it.
It was 60 years ago. I mean, yeah. Manx Radio started 60 years ago, and in came Radio Caroline on Bahama Bank, was there for the best part of 4 years. Big yes. time, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. And if you stood on the prom here, it always looked the same, the distance, wherever you went. You went to Mackle or you went, it looked the same distance. It was stuck right out in the middle of the bay on the bank.
Well, 60 years, Stephen Bevan is here, supremo of the commissioners as well, Stephen. Well, there are some plans for Caroline this summer, aren't there?
Yeah, we're going to work collaboratively with Manx Radio, with Live at Home and the Chamber of Commerce to put some events on celebrating those 60 years. The key one being weekend of 3rd and 4th of August, where there will be on Saturday a Radio Caroline themed picnic in the park, and on Sunday, working alongside the Masons, there'll be a Masons Day in the park, and that's bringing together all of the things we've spoken about today, working with everybody in the community to put something on for the community.
It is amazing, because when people talk about Radio Caroline, and certainly in the UK, they always talk about the one with Tony Blackburn on, the one that went to ground. That was off Frinton-on-Sea in Essex, but the other, I mean, and actually the more successful of the two Caroline ships was here in Ramsey. It was in, and the head and the office was in East Street of all places, by, is it Pennyfarthing at the moment?
Yeah, the building that the office is in, the downstairs of that now is a shop, Pennyfarthing, yeah. Karen Moore runs, yeah.
So, and in terms of getting Radio Caroline commemorated in Ramsey, because at the moment you could walk around and not even know it was there, what would be the process of getting Caroline commemorated? A plaque or something somewhere around the town?
Yeah, well, as an authority, we can work with our lead members to speak to Manx National Heritage to see if it's something that they can help us with, to maybe identify a trail of all of the different landmarks and buildings. As Wilf said, he went out to the boat, but there were boats that were coming in and out of Ramsey every day to the Radio Caroline, so there would be good to do a piece of work about that. And there's obviously somebody in the room wrote a very good book about it.
Thank you. Still available, by the way.
Yes.
Well, Arthur Curran used to take the trip boat out, didn't he? The K-Sarah that used to go out. And Harry Madrill, the guy, Harry Madrill's fish shop in Peel, the Essex Girl was the PL-8, I think it was, that used to, was one of the tender boats. But it was a big deal, and it's good that it's going to be commemorated. I just want to go back. We mentioned earlier on about the bonfire in... How on earth, I mean, I'm not going to say how on earth has it become so successful, because it's well organised, but it's become one of the biggest things on the Isle of Man now, the Ramsey Bonfire. Oh, the firework display.
Yeah, it has. I mean, a few years ago, the commissioners decided to put the display to music. There was some scepticism about that at the time, but actually it works really well. And we do that each year. We come up with a theme and we work with the firework company to set the display to music. What we've done last year, and we're going to do it again this year, is we're going to have a display on the Saturday night nearest to bonfire night, so that it has a substantial benefit to the hospitality and retail industry as well. And it's popular because it's a great display. It's a great event, obviously, because we're doing it. And people come and have a really good time.
I remember. I mean, it was post-COVID. It was the first big thing after COVID, wasn't it?
Seemingly on that.
You couldn't move.
No, it was the biggest event in the British Isles, because in the UK, they were still very much in lockdown measures.
I mean, do you remember when that was happening? Was there any apprehension about it?
We put some extra measures in. We figured it would be busy, so we worked with some health and safety people to make sure that we made it as safe and as possible. We work, as with everything we do, we work with the Chamber of Commerce, we work with the police, the emergency services, to make it, you know, a good, safe environment for people to be in.
Good. I'm going. The final word's going to be with Wilf here. Are you going to show me the seaweed, by the way, Wilf?
There's the binoculars.
Yeah.
Binoculars. You've got to look out that window.
Oh, I thought we were going to walk down and see
You can walk down if you want to. I can take you down to my car if you don't mind getting cold.
Not that Bergerac, not the Bergerac Triumph, is it? That you've
no,
got?
No. It's a Jeep.
Fantastic. So Tim, when's the next commissioner's election? Is it 18 months?
So it'll be May 2025. That's the next planned election.
Okay. Just to find a word now with Dennis Kerfey about the... what's going to happen now on the... What's the next big thing that you're doing on the... Dennis here. Dennis, next big thing that's happening on the pier.
Well, the next big thing, obviously, as far as the restoration of the pier is when the steel comes, is fitting everything together and getting the next two bays done.
When will that be, do you know?
It'll be this... We'll be doing it this summer. Like just David said earlier, by the end of the summer... We'll be able to walk out on bays 7 and 8, so okay. We're getting an extra 80 feet done.
And just finally, David, so when will the Queen's Pier be open to walk around? It's normally, is it Sunday or Wednesday?
Sunday afternoons.
But you were doing evening ones as well, weren't you? There were evening walks along sometimes.
On occasional event days, and of course we're open for events as well, so they're...
We can book the opportunity to
plug the pier.
Yeah, plug the fact that you were offering it as a wedding photo venue.
It's been
right?
used as a wedding photo venue already. So if anybody wants to utilise the pier for a particular special purpose, then they can apply for that.
Okay. Final word from Dr. Allenson here. So tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, is that right?
Yep, we run the political surgery. But I'd just like to thank you very much for coming up to Ramsey. And what I really advise your listeners is, if you haven't been to Ramsey in the last couple of years, come up and see the difference. See the passion of the place. See what the local businesses can provide. We've got a great place to live, but also a great place to shop as well.
Thanks for being with us today. For the people on the Queen's Pier Restoration Trust, thanks to Dr. Allenson, to Wilf Young, to Jeff Court, to Dennis Kerfey, David Furnival, to the Evanses from Ramsey Garden Centre, Keith Dalrymple, and thanks to for tuning in. Thanks to Chris Pearson on the microphones today, Matty Cunningham. Thanks also to Chris Quirk. Have a fantastic weekend. We're back with an open line on Monday at noon.
WINT. 60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
For years, there's been a debate on the island about the presence of foxes here. At one stage in the 80s, there were at least 6. 2 adults were brought over illegally. They had 4 cubs before the adults were put down. The cubs were taken to a secret location where I was permitted to pick up and hold the boldest one. There's a picture of that moment on our website. Where did they go? I'll tell you at the ending to this piece. Despite a survey carried out by a student which claimed the possibility of hundreds of foxes here, many doubted their presence as, in the spring, vixens searching for a mate make a very distinctive noise.
We have been getting, in the department, we've been getting reports of sightings consistently over the last number of years. But what we have noticed was an increase in the frequency of these sightings. And then this summer, we had evidence brought to us of a pair of foxes. And we've since had sightings of young foxes. So we've every reason to believe that there was a litter successfully bred in the north of the island. But we are getting reports from as far apart as Baru and the south of the island, the west of the island.
Now, these didn't come over by chance. Someone has brought them over. And obviously, they stand liable to prosecution if they're ever caught.
Well, the department views this matter. Yes, you're quite right. They have been illegally imported. And, you know, it's a totally reprehensible action. And they're... Yes, there is legislation banning the importation of foxes under any circumstances, and the department wouldn't hesitate to prosecute. But unfortunately, you have to catch somebody. I was going to say red-handed, but you know what I mean.
It wouldn't be difficult to bring foxes in.
You could bring them in the box in the boot of the car. You know, it's not. This is. We don't live in a police state. We don't search every vehicle. We don't search every person that's coming onto the island. If somebody is perverse enough that they want to do something like this, yes, they can do it.
Some years after those fox cubs' presence here, I read an article in a UK Sunday newspaper, an interview with Mimi Rothschild of the Rothschilds family at her home in Northamptonshire. The writer says, at that moment, a fox appeared at the edge of the lawn. Oh, said Mimi, it must be one of the Manx foxes. It didn't say whether it was tailless.
Part of island life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.